You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday evening's action in Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to tonight's card is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark, yes.
Good man. Dundalk on a Tuesday.
I know, yes. By the time they're running this, I'll be in some cafe somewhere in Italy.
Very nice. I'm sure you'll be keeping one eye on the results, Andy.
Oh, of course. Not when my wife's watching, though.
Fair enough. Let's get stuck into the action. The first race is the 5:40. We start here with the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Auction Maiden. It's for 2-year-olds. It's over 5 furlongs. Not too much form to go on, really, Andy. So who'd you like in there?
Yeah, I'd probably have to go with Birdcage. She ran quite promisingly on debut in quite a strongly run affair at Tipperary. Went the way of Washington, D.C. from the Aidan O'Brien stable, who caught the on debut at Dundalk in quite a hot little race behind Blood Moon. And he justified favouritism quite comfortably. Back in third was Birdcage, who was a little bit disorganised throughout that race, but that can happen at Tipperary. It's a very sharp track, but it's also quite undulating. It's a little bit like Ripon. When you hit the wrong ridges, you kind of like get buffeted around a little bit. And she was just unable to get into a stride all the way through that race. So it's no great surprise that Gerline sends her here to Dundalk, much more even track, of course. And because he's got such a good record here, in the last year or so, then it looks a logical solution for Birdcage. Jer's horses are in good form, as we know, and particularly his two-year-olds are running well. He's had three or four two-year-olds that have all covered themselves with glory, a couple of winners. So, generally speaking, with the yard in good form and with it holding the best form coming into the race, I'd have to go for it this early stage without seeing any market moves for any of the others. So, Birdcage is a selection in the first.
Okay, Birdcage in the first for Andy. Then the second race is the 6:10. This is another maiden. This one's over 5 furlongs, and it's for 3-year-olds and older. A nice big field of 11 here, Andy. Which one would you side with in there?
Yeah, I probably would have gone with Well Done Me had she not been posted out on the wing in stall number 11. She's also tipped a few times this season, and she's run with a great amount of credit. Fourth behind the Warrior in a very fast time at the Curragh. Followed up with a good run behind Great Wide Open, who was my nap last week when it didn't run. Third behind Eisenhower, again another good run. Punching well above its weight in these races, by the way. And then even though only seventh of eight the other week behind Happy Prince, the speed figure that the winner posted that day was truly sensational for 0-80, 90 handicappers. And Well Done Me raced a little bit keen, was out on the wing and had no cover. So she didn't have much chance, but stall 11 of 11, that's a bit of a nightmare. So I'm probably going to have to go for Riff Raja, a filly who's had just three runs so far. Did nothing on debut, but his last two runs this season as a three-year-old have suggested this horse is about to strike sooner rather than later, certainly up to winning a maiden anyway. Third behind Penny Pepper in a decent race at the Curragh, then went back to the same course and distance. And it was fourth behind Your Best Chance. It was a race that I napped Shanghai Beauty and still can't believe that horse managed to get itself out the frame. But the figure of the race suggested it was quite good, and it wasn't a bad effort considering the ground was still on the soft side for this daughter of Ifraj. Most Ifraj, she's won a decent surface. The drop back to 5 furlongs shouldn't be an issue, and the beauty is this horse has got the plum inside draw in trap one. So Edwin Lynham's child's got every chance of performing to a decent standard here tonight, and Ifraj is the selection in the 6:10.
If Raja Farani then in the 6:10, the third race is the 6:40, and this one is a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We don't have the betting at the moment, Andy, but I imagine Marcel will be quite near the top of it. Dermot Weld start the season in good form, and Marcel putting a decent effort on debut over 9 furlongs. The dropping trip looks as if it'll suit as well.
Yeah, arguably. I thought she ran okay, but I didn't think much of the maiden that she ran in at Garen the other day. The speed figure suggested it wasn't all that great. The big talking horse was variable. the starboard companion on that occasion. Although Morcel showed it quite prominently, she did weaken in the latter stages and did quite well to defy a 33-1 price tag. But she's drawn stall 13 here. Like I said, I didn't think the race that she ran in was that great. She could well be a very tight, skinny favourite for where I'm looking. And I'm going to go with Take a Chance on Me, who also made her debut at Garran this season, and I thought ran an absolute smashing race behind Oscar Sir Cartage. Now, I've got that speed figure really, really good for that particular race, and it was the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card. And I think, in all honesty, Pat Martin's Charge might have won that race had Ross Coakley not dropped his whip inside the final furlong. Whether it did make the difference or not is obviously open to question. But either way, still a good run by this filly, by Ifrage. And it's just the kind of race I think she can run well in. I think the track will suit her. And generally speaking, Pat Martin's got a really good record here at Dundalk. Not with quite, you know, any of his major superstars, but he's had a good, winter run ratio in the last couple of years. So Take a Chance on Me. I know I'm desperate to burst into the ABBA song, but I'm going to refrain from that and save everyone from putting their fingers in the ears and tip Pat Martin's Charge and hope that she can step forward on that third last time out at Garran.
Thank God for that. I was worried for a second you were going to burst out into song.
I'm going to have to refrain.
The 7-10 is the next race we'll look at. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds. Plenty of these come into this in good form, and it's a wide open handicap.
Yeah, a lot of the old favourites are running here. It's as if they've all had a break and been deliberately targeted at this race. The likes of Song of Love, Sheba, Private Party, Whip Up a Frenzy, Tomorrow Morning, and Ishi Bay or Grey have all had success to various standards in the last 6 months here at Dundalk. But they are up against a couple of improvers here who've burst onto the scene in recent times, and they could well fight out the finish here. The two horses in question are Woodell from the David Watchman camp and Coybig from the Ken Condon stable, 2 yards in good form at the moment. Coybig won here the other night, defying a horrifying drift out to the right-hand side in the latter stages to get the better of Octavia. Certainly can't afford to do that against this field tonight, because I think this one's a little bit more competitive than the race that he ran in the other night. But still in good form, and obviously a worthy opponent for the rest. So I'm going to have to go for this Wardell, who posted quite a good number when winning down in Limerick the other day. But I think this horse could be a cut above this lot, you know, tonight. I don't think he's too badly handicapped. The assessors give it a mark of 75. Could have been a whole lot more. And I noticed that the horse that chased it home down in Limerick, a horse called Chinaga Bay, was extremely unlucky not to break its maiden tag at Navan on Sunday when getting a horrific run behind the short price favourite Jinsha Lake. I think it might have well been a different story had Gerlines' Charge got open water to stretch its legs out in the latter stages. But that has obviously boosted that form line. And as I said, I thought Wardell looked a really nice colt when he won that day. The form looks arguably a step up from this lot. And hopefully if he's the right price in the morning, we get a good chance to back Wardell to win that handicap.
Wardell for Andy then in the 7-10. Moving on to the 7-40 next. This is a 1 mile handicap for horses rated 47 to 65. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Again, it's plenty of old favourites in the lineup here. But interesting one that's likely to be somewhere near the top of the market is Rota Baron, Andy, who was a maiden for a long time until the last two starts, both over course and distance. Back-to-back wins now, chasing the hat-trick. What do you make of him?
Yeah, he went a long time without even looking as though he was going to break his duck, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, he just turned a corner for no apparent reason. Clearly likes it here at Dundalk. I think since he stepped up to a mile, he's looked a totally different horse. And whatever penny has dropped, it certainly has been working. He's got a great draw as well, drawn in track one. So there's every chance that Rota Baron could complete the hat-trick despite the 60-day layoff. But I'm going to give another go to Manaroff, a horse that had become a little bit frustrating since he won back here in December. He was really impressive that day when he beat Muck and Brass, and I thought, you know, he's a horse to start on the right side of. But one thing or another, he just hasn't quite had the rub of the green on his two starts subsequently. He was absolutely tragic from a bad draw on his next start, and he looked like winning the last day, but only for Settle for Red, just to out-battle him in the closing stages. I actually think he could be worth a drop back to a mile here, because he does travel like a good horse. And finally, he's been actually done some favours with the draw as well. I know it's not a brilliant draw in Trap 8, but it certainly could have been a whole lot worse. Manarov has been loitering out on the wing on his last two or three runs, so this will seem like an absolute luxury to him from stall 8. But they should go a good gallop here. There's plenty of pace setters, and it'll make it this severe test, and that's exactly what Manarov wants. So let's give Thomas McCourt's charge another go, particularly if you can get a nice each-way price of him. Manarov is a selection in the 740.
Manor of Friendly in the 7.40. Then moving on to the 8.10 next. This is another handicap over a mile. This one is for four-year-olds and older. It's a field of 14 here, Andy. Again, several of these have decent enough records at Dundalk. And Iron Major at the top of the weights there. Won very easily last time with this £10 claimer on board. Is he on the shortlist again here?
Oh, he has to be, doesn't he? Yeah. As I mentioned yesterday in the podcast on Sunday, this Oisin Orr is definitely an apprentice to stay on the right side of. He's very much worth his £10 claim and more. I thought he gave A. Nippy a nice ride, even though it didn't win at Navan on Sunday. And the fact that Joe Lyons is using him to good effect suggests that he's got ultimate faith in this horse, in this jockey. And of course, he teamed up with this horse last time at Iron Major. It was not the most easiest of conveyances, as we well know. His career has been scattered with unlucky runs all the way through his career. And the fact that Oisin managed to get a real tune out of him suggest that he'll do so when he's in the place again on this occasion. Your guess is as good as mine what mood Iron Major is going to be. And we know he can win, but it's whether he puts his best foot forward. If he does, then he could be easily up to defined top weight. A couple of interesting runners against him. My Paint is definitely one. That horse caught the eye in a massive way the other day. And in fact, I think it caught the attentions of the stewards so much that they actually handed out a bit of a fine to the jockey, Michael Hussey, who miscalculated the fact that Bobby Jean was on the wing on the outside. I thought he was a bit hard done to himself, because I don't care, you know, who he was, his peripheral vision must have been up there with a fly's peripheral vision, because there's no way for me he could have seen where Bobby Jean was. But either way, that horse is in good form. And the other one to mention is Glassatura, who I think has been crying out for a mile for quite a while. She's got some really good form in decent races. She's run well here before. She ran as though she needed the run, and the trip was too short first time up against Duchess of Andorra. But with the Mickey Halford team in good form, I've got a funny feeling that Glassatura could get the run of the race here, and she'll be picking up the pieces late on. Certainly worthy of an each-way choice in the 8.10.
Okay, each-way selection for Andy then. In the 8.10, the 8.40 is the penultimate race on the card. This one is a handicap over a mile and a half. It's for four-year-olds and older. Starting here with Asian Wing, if we can, Andy, because he won over 2 miles two starts ago, went up £9 for that. Then won again over this course and distance. The £9 rise did nothing to prevent him. He's up another £9 here. Is the handicapper getting anywhere near catching up with him?
I don't think so, no. I thought he was really impressive the last day, because he was dropping back to a mile and a half. And although I went for John Fiend's charge, I was just slightly concerned that maybe his best form might be in and around the 2 mile mark. But he coped with the drop back in trip no problem at all. He travelled really strongly, and he was fully on top over 2 furlongs out, so it was definitely nothing to do with any trip issues. He's over a mile and a half again tonight, and even though he's up in the weights, I still think he's well ahead of the handicapper based on what I've seen of late. And he's only really got to beat the same kind of horses he's been, mashing up in his last 2 runs. You know, he's beaten the likes of Christie's Call, Radara, et al. And his figures are by far and away the best in the race. So despite, you know, the handicapper trying to intervene, I don't think he's necessarily caught up just yet. And I'll take Asian Wing to complete the quick hat-trick.
Asian Wing friendly there. Then the final race at Dundalk is the 9.10. We finish with a handicap over a mile and a half. Six runners in the lineup here. And I imagine that Don Camillo is going to be somewhere near the top of the market, having only had the two starts, got off the mark in a mile and a quarter maiden here at Dundalk in convincing fashion. But that maiden's not working out, Andy. What do you make of him in handicap company here?
He's an interesting runner. In fact, he's the most eagerly anticipated runner, in my opinion, on the whole card. Okay, the form might not have worked out all that well, but boy, was he really impressive when he beat Master of Mayhem. He just oozed class throughout that contest. He's a big, strong, strapping lad by Go Zapper. Now, those of a good memory will remember Go Zapper. Go Zapper won the Breeders' Cup Classic many, many years ago, and that was obviously on the dirt, and this horse looks as though he's got that bloodline pumping through his veins. I know you probably look at the second, you think, well, we're not too sure about the form, but we get a chance to see how good that form is, maybe with Azzurri, who, of course, ran last night, whether that form is upheld or not. He runs at Roscommon, so if he runs well, then maybe it's not so bad. But either way, I think he's just a lovely-looking horse and a horse I want to stay on the right side of. I think his class will get him through here. He is up against one or two half-decent horses, but I don't think they've got as much progression as Don Camillo. And, he rates probably one of the best bets on the card, provided you can get a reasonable price for him.
OK, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Dundalk one more time.
We'll do. We'll start off with Joe Lyons' charge in the first, Birdcage. In the second race, the maiden over five furlongs. Well Done Me would have been the automatic choice, but for not being drawn stall 11. So I'm going to have to go for Ifjaja, who's been handed out much better draw in trap one. In the 6:40, I want to take a bit of a chance here that Take Chance on Me runs as well, if not better, than she did last time out at Garran. Certainly comes out well on the figures. In the 9:10, I think Wardell's potentially well handicapped off a mark of 75 and can continue the good run of late for the Davy Watchman camp. I'll give Manarov another chance in the mile handicap. Hopefully he'll appreciate the drop back down in trip. I've got the 8:10 between the very much in and out Iron Major, but on a good day he can beat these no problem. And Glassatora, who's the other course and distance runner in the field. I'll have to go with Asian Wing again in the 8:40. He looks right on top of his game at the moment. And the nicest horse to run here on the card by a mile is this Don Camillo. And providing he's not too short, he could be worth a punt in the last.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy whatever you see of Dundalk. I don't think you'll see much of it.
She'll have it on video.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers, Tom.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.